Tommy, what did you shoot yesterday?
Greg's, I shot an 89. And listen, the conditions weren't great yesterday. It was cold. I don't know how some guys did it yesterday, but I saw some of them wearing like shorts and a t-shirt. I was like full thermal gear, like thermal socks, thermal undershirt. And when the sun came out, it was actually pretty nice. But I got to give kudos to the guys out there that are slugging it with shorts and t-shirts right now, because there's still some bite in the air, Greg's. Honestly, I know it's May and it's spring, but we're not in the clear here with the weather.
Well, it wasn't that bad there. Did you wear a toque too or what?
Mitts? No.
Mittens?
No, come on, no mittens. I can suck it up a little bit, man. I can be a man and handle the cold a little bit at least.
Okay. Today it came out, of course, there's going to be the Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning golf event. It's going to be on TNT. You have Brian Anderson, Trevor Immelman, of course, a former golfer, and you're going to have Charles Barkley, as an analyst. And a lot of people are like, well, why is Charles Barkley an analyst? Well, I think because Charles Barkley will add some color to it. Like, my goodness, it's four guys playing golf. You're going to need as much color as possible after a while.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing about this, too. Like, the guy is hilarious. Charles Barkley is hilarious. And on top of that, he's a great broadcaster. He loves golf. He doesn't get afraid to say anything. Like, the guy is a natural on camera. So basically, you're drawing in all these stars from different sports. It is for a good cause. It's going to be a live television event. And then you get Sir Charles on there. I know he was a great basketball player, but Greg's like, he is highly entertaining. And when guys got it in the field of broadcasting, they just got it. And he's got that gift of the gab. He's not afraid to say what he feels. So you've got Peyton, you've got Phil, you've got Tom Brady, you've got Tiger Woods, and then you throw Sir Charles in there on the broadcast. It's going to be fantastic, like highly entertaining. And then on top of that, he loves golf. He's not a great golfer. If anyone's seen his swing and that weird hitch that he has in it, you look at that and you go, I don't even know how he gets the ball off the tee. But he manages to. He keeps playing. He's consistent. And so it has all of the right elements to make a good mix. And I think it just boosts that broadcast when it occurs on the 24th, and it takes it to a different level, Greg. I'm actually excited to see what he brings to that broadcast. Like, now I'd watch that golf event. I've said it before, I don't necessarily always watch on Saturdays and Sundays, but that's one where I'm like, well, I like the mix here, and I'm completely curious to see how it all plays out.
Like, do you think you will watch all 18 holes or just snippets?
This is one where I'd be more inclined to actually watch 18. Honestly, I'd like to see the matchups between Phil and Tom against Peyton and Tiger, and just to see how they play. I want to see how the football players and these legends of the game handle playing with PGA guys. And I know that they play in events from time to time, but I want to see how they handle like the big stage when everybody's watching them. So I think this is one where I might actually stick with it throughout the entire 18.
Tom Gazzola joins us. Tom, Alex Hemsky officially announced his retirement today. He's only 36 years of age, which is kind of surprising. Seems like he's been around forever, but he did come in as an 18-year-old. We kind of forget that. But what is your fondest memory of Hemsky? What do you think of him as a player?
You know, he could be frustrating at times, Greg's, and I think that's because there was so much anticipation when he arrived. He was a high first-round draft pick. He had all this flash, and he was playing in the QMJHL, and it was at a time when the Oilers were a team that didn't have a ton of skill and the type of skill that Alex Hemsky had. And he made the team, like you said, when he was really young, so there was all this expectation. And listen, I think he actually did a pretty good job. He lived up to it. And there was some times where what he did on the ice was wizardry. And you were like, wow, Alex Hemsky, this guy is a tremendous player. And the thing I admire about the way he handled playing in the NHL was he would get beat up. He's like my size. He's not a big guy. And he would handle the rough and tough stuff, like those battles with Robin Regier against the Flames when when the Oilers and Flames were playing eight times a season. He would take a punish, like a punishing blow, and he bounced back up. And you got to admire that from a guy. And it wouldn't deter him. He wouldn't shy away from anything. So he was a very good NHL player. What he did in 06, Greg's, he had a tremendous postseason. I think he had, 24 games played, 17 points, something like that. What he did in Game 6 against Detroit in that first round. And as the playoffs wore on and the competition got tougher, he didn't back away either. So I had a chance to get to know him a little bit when I was doing Oilers TV stuff. And he's actually a pretty good guy. So, you know, kudos to him for making it work for as many years as he did in the National Hockey League. And it's tough that injuries got the better of him. But, you know, Father Time catches up with all of us. And I think he is someone that, you know, if you're an Oilers fan, you could look back and go, yeah, he's a pretty damn good player. And he would be somebody, I think, that could be welcomed back here for an Alashemsky night. Not saying he's going to get his banner retired or anything like that, but you could have a night to honor a guy like that because he was a good Oiler for a long time.
I think Alashemsky was an incredibly skilled player, ridiculously skilled player, and you know, didn't get to play with a ton of gifted players by any stretch of the imagination, like pure real offensive players. Like I like Sean Horkoff, but you know Sean Horkoff wasn't like a dynamic offensive player at the NHL level by any stretch. He was a good player.
Right.
Really solid player, but not dynamic. I was always a huge fan of Hemsky. Really liked him as a guy. You know, he was pretty laid back, but he had a, you know, he had zero fear in his game. And I remember it was Ethan Morrow, you know, Hemsky's second year in the league, you know, and Ethan Morrow was kind of one of those blood and guts hard players. And I was asked him about Hemsky and he just said, you know what, man, that guy goes to areas I wouldn't go to with the puck when he knows he's going to get crushed. And he was fearless on the ice. That's what I remember most about Hemsky. And man, he was one of the few players in the NHL who could literally embarrass players one on one. There's very few guys that can do that against the best of the best, and Hemsky was one.
Do you remember too when Jágr was kind of finishing up with the Rangers, and there was some talk of maybe bringing Jágr to Edmonton, and part of the reasoning was because of Alashemsky? I remember that kind of swirling around, and it's like, that's a heck of a compliment to get from one of the greatest players of all time that he would consider coming up to Edmonton and playing with Hemsky, if that rumor was true, but it didn't seem to go away, and it was one that kind of persisted. I think that's a feather in the cap of a guy like Alashemsky, if probably the greatest player from your country says, you know what, I'd consider playing with that guy in Edmonton.
Well, you know, they're both Czech guys, and he had the opportunity to play with Hemsky and see him, and it doesn't totally surprise me, but Hemsky was a highly gifted player. There's not much question about that. It's too bad he got banged up in 2009, 2010, and really, it's too bad, but that's also, I think people forget, one of the main reasons why the Oilers ended up drafting Taylor Hall was because Alashemsky only played 22 games that year. He had 22 points in 22 games.
Yep.
Right, otherwise, you know, he would have been one of their leading scorers again. He was out for an extended period of time. They had a lot of their top guys get injured that season, and that allowed the Oilers to plummet down the standings. Right, it was a main reason why. And so,
yeah.
I don't even know. I wouldn't ever say they tanked it. They had injuries to a lot of their key players, you know. And that, Happy Boulin, of course, in goal. That was a big one. You don't have a goaltender, you know, Sheldon Surrey. Hurt on the back end, arguably their best defenseman. Hemsky, their best forward. All those guys are out. That's why. Now, the Oilers weren't that good to begin with. Let's make that clear. But
yeah.
You lose your best forward, your best defenseman, and your best goalie. It's pretty hard to win.
That 09-10, that 09-10 season, pardon me, was it went sideways in a hurry. And you're right. Like, the makeup wasn't there. Pat Quinn, some of the best press conferences I've ever been a part of, because the guy would just go on these 15-minute tangents, and you'd be like, wow, that was amazing, but I don't even think he answered the question. But it was not a good mix. And you're right, he was banged up, and that led to the Taylor Hall draft. But, yeah, that 09-10 season was an adventure in its own right.
Tom Gazzola joins us. Tommy, the Bundesliga soccer, will you be watching more so just with interest to see how it looks without fans?
I will. And I know it got the green light in the last day or two, and the fixtures and matches get going tomorrow bright and early, and we can watch them. I'm going to keep an eye on them. And did you see, Greg, that they actually have put out this offer? I can't remember which Bundesliga team or if it was multiple Bundesliga teams, but they're actually selling basically cardboard cutouts of fans. So if you're a fan of, you know, say let's call it Edmonton, sorry, FC Edmonton here, and they want to do the TV broadcast, and you're like, well, I'll pay $20 to get my pic, and I'll send my picture in, and they'll print it out life-size, and they'll put it in a seat. So there's cardboard cutouts, and I can't remember which team was selling them, but it actually looks pretty good. And I'm kind of curious to see how that shows up on camera as well. So this is something, like I said, I'm not a big soccer guy, Greg's, and I'm curious, and I'll take a look to see what it looks like. And the cardboard cutout thing, I think, is a nice little initiative by whatever teams are taking part in it to see how it actually looks. And some of the close-ups of the pictures are hilarious.
One last one for you. Key lime pie, yay or nay?
I mean, I've got 5 or 6 other desserts off the top of my head that I can think of that are better than key lime pie. I'll take a carrot cake any day, cheesecake any day. I'll take a butter pecan pie any day, apple pie. I'm not a big key lime pie guy.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you have you ever made your own dessert?
Not a chance. I'm a disaster in the kitchen, my friend.
Oh, all right. Okay.
I'll admit it.
I'm be making my first key lime pie this weekend, so I will I'll let you guys know how it goes. I'll save a piece for Struds.
Let me know how it goes. I'm sure. I'm sure it'll be great, Greg's, because once you put your mind to something, you nail it, buddy.
All right, buddy. Hey, have yourself a good weekend. How many rounds are you golfing this weekend?
Well, I just finished up another one at Northern Bear with Quinn from our friend at Global, and Brian Cheeseman from the Oil Kings, and Ryan King from the Eskimos. Great dude. And tough go today, tough course. I might sneak one more in, though, this weekend, Greg's, but I feel like the course is going to be super busy.
Oh, yeah, I would think they're going to be busy. It's going to be 20 and 21 degrees, though. Golfers are going to be loving it, everybody. So keep the social distance. Everybody, you know why? There hasn't been any real cases from golf courses. Everybody's smart, all you golfers. Tip of the hat to all of you. And I know the clubhouses now, some of them are open, so people can sit down and socialize a little bit more, obviously with the proper restrictions in place. Have a good weekend, Tommy. Hey, you know what? Shoot for 85 this weekend, buddy. Shoot for 85.
Thanks, Greg. You too, buddy.